Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
But God uses people at all levels of servitude. There are some of us that cannot attain perfect servitude. But does He hold that against you? No, because He reads the heart. Does the heart desire to serve God? Yes. Can the heart overcome all of the flesh? Maybe not. But Jesus Christ makes up the handicap. And we have Nebuchadnezzar, who is a servant of God. God says so. But there are still other gods in the land. Now God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So God has blessed Daniel in giving the captain of the eunuchs a heart for Daniel. And Daniel has said, I'm a Hebrew. I know this food is from the king's table, but I also know this food is sanctified to other gods, and I don't want to put it in my body. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse likened than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. I understand you don't want to eat this food that has been sacrificed to other gods. But if you don't eat this finest food, you're not going to look as well and as substantial as the king thinks you should look. If you go in there looking poorly, losing weight, pale skin, dark eyes, he's going to cut my head off. I'm in charge of making it. It said so a little earlier. He brought the most beautiful. And the king's line, yes, the king's line in the Hebrew line, spectacular specimens of the human species. He brought them to put in his court. Wasn't any pale, skinny guy standing in there? And Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Give us beans and water for 10 days, and look at our countenance, look at our complexions. See if we've lost any weight. And then, after that, let us survive on that. And let our countenance be looked upon before thee, the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. So they actually got healthier. Can you imagine, Jonathan? You're sitting in a jail cell and they're bringing roast pheasant and lamb to the guy next to you, and the smell fills the entire dungeon, and they bring you beans and water.
Right.
Focused. One reason he's focused is he was made a eunuch and he already had a heart for God. I'm going to ask Christian men out there just for a second. You love the Lord. Can you imagine if that worldly stumbling block was taken out of your life, how much more your zeal for God would be? Your mind would be clearer. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all the realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, you remember when all the nations of the known world were sending emissaries to Israel to see the knowledge of Solomon. Those stories are still out there. You think he brought the princes of the Chaldees to stand in his throne room? No. They're not known for their amazing wisdom. But the Israelis are. They're known for their amazing fierceness in battle, strength of body, and wisdom of mind as a result of Solomon and his kingdom. Chapter 2, the book of Daniel, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Oh, this is funny here. This is hilarious. Well, tell us about the dream there, sire.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Tell me your dream and I'll tell you what it means. Mm-hmm. Anyone could do that.
Oh, yeah.
Whether your interpretation was correct, you could pacify him for a minute long enough to pack your bags and get out of Dodge.
Oh, yeah. Before the guard came to your room. Oh, yeah.
Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. King answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. You will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof. You shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. It's one thing about Nebuchadnezzar. He was basically an honorable man, but he did not accept failure among his officers. Any type of failure of the most modest amount was basically a death sentence.
Sipped in the wheat from the chaff.
As long as you were doing your job and could answer his questions, you were well taken care of. But if ye shew the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. So, you ever had those dreams? You wake up, and for just a few moments, you're thinking, oh my gosh, what a wild dream. And an hour later, you can't remember any of it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. I used to keep a notepad next to my bed for those occasions. I'd write them down. And I would get song lyrics, and I'd write them down, too. But that is astounding, because you have a full recollection that when you first wake up, and then it is gone. It's like you have a temporary cache in your brain mm-hmm. that gets erased every so often. But he's basically told him this. No, I know it was disturbing. And you can remember that it was either disturbing or happy. And he says, I had a very disturbing dream, but I can't remember it. Now, you guys are my magicians and sorcerers. You guys are supposed to have all these fancy powers. Mm-hmm. Tell me what the dream was and what it meant. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream. Please, king, think hard. What was the dream about? I mean, were you, like, driving in a car or what?
Yeah.
And we will show you the interpretation. Yes. You tell us a little about it, we'll tell you what it meant. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. You're buying for time. Mm-hmm. Get on with it. You guys are supposed to be magicians and sorcerers. Do your jobs. I've been paying you for years. Yeah, I think it's cool when you do those card tricks in the evening. But this is the real stuff that I've been paying you for. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretations thereof. I know for a fact, if I tell you anything about this dream, you have prepared lies and your own foolish interpretations. Therefore, you reveal to me what I dream, and I'll know you're real. Otherwise, you're a bunch of frauds. Probably had doubts about these guys for years. you know. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean." This is unheard of, king. I mean, we come from a long line of magicians and sorcerers. Our fathers and their great-grandfathers were magicians and sorcerers. And the kings always told us what their dream was about. And then we made interpretations. It's unheard of that you're asking us to tell you even what the dream is. No one can do that. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not in flesh. Ah, even they know. Only God can do this. They say gods because they're heathen men. They know many gods. Little g. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Oh, wait a minute. That includes Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, Mishael. They're wise men. They were brought there for their wisdom. And that's another problem with Nebuchadnezzar. When he reacts to something in his anger, he does fourfold when he could have just done these guys in the room. All of the magicians and sorcerers throughout the land shall be killed, because they're probably all like you. They're all a bunch of frauds. And he's well on his way to cementing his belief in the true God in this action. He's realizing, you know what, these guys, they say they get their wisdom from these gods, these little gods over here, and I'm realizing now they're a bunch of frauds. Let's kill all the wise men, overreaching. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. They sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain, because they had been given that position as wise men. Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Why is he doing this? It's so broad. He hasn't even asked any of the rest of us. He took a small sampling of magicians and sorcerers, and because they had no powers, he's going to kill all of us. "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" And Arioch made this thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now, this is something that we haven't seen so far that's getting ready to happen. Normally, there would be a communication with God. After David, we'd see the actual kings would do it, or they would go to a priest or the prophet. These fellows gather and have a little prayer session together, like it's evolving into Jesus' ministry after he leaves. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the God of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and sitteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." And what did Daniel just do there? God gave him the information in a dream, and he got up and worshiped God. Told him how wonderful he was. Not just thank you. You know, how often do we say thank you, Lord? No, thank you, Almighty God, King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler of all, creator of all. Worship him. Tell him how wonderful he is, even for the smallest things in your life. Verse 24, Daniel 2. Therefore Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. What's Daniel asking for there? Redemption for all of them. Not just us. He's asking for redemption for all of them. Destroy not all the wise men of Babylon. Then Arioch besought, brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Get him there, quick. And said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Listen how Daniel answers this. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. No, it cannot be done by a man. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. No, a man has not that ability, sire. But there is a God in heaven that knows all things, and he can make it known. And he has made it known to me. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these, and here is what your dream is. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. This is all about you and what will happen to your kingdom after you leave. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the kings, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. This is not any wisdom that I have. There is nothing inside of me that can tell you the interpretations, king. Only God can tell me what your dream meant. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. A great man, terrible. The image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. There's a whole sermon in number 33, one sentence, between the lines. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Can you imagine, Jonathan, the king sitting there, and as he's telling him this, he's remembering it, because he would have. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. Yes, a gold head, silver breastplate. Yes, yes, and the feet. It was iron and clay mixed together. This is the dream we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Daniel's speaking, but they're all there. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. See that? The God of heaven has given it to him. He still hasn't achieved a perfect heart, but he's on his way. And whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand. He has let you conquer the entire world, known world, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. That is your kingdom that you sit upon the throne is represented by the head of gold. And after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. So after you will become the breastplate of silver, will be the kingdom after your kingdom. It won't be quite as grand as yours. And then there'll be a third one, one of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Many scholars believe that one is the Roman Empire. Telling the history all the way to the end here. Who do you think the rock is that turns into a mountain, that crushes the feet of iron and clay? Jesus Christ. The history of the world spoken right here from the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to the Antichrist. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, so doeth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. Interesting. Have you ever seen any substantial metal mixed with clay, Jonathan?
Nothing that you would want to, you know, balance your life on.
No. I mean, it's barely held together, right?
Yeah.
You have parts that are strong held together by parts that are very brittle. But there's a whole lot of meaning in there. The kingdom shall be divided. There shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for inasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. So that bottom, the last kingdom, he goes through them all there. The last kingdom, parts of it will be very strong, and parts of it will be very weak. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. There it is. Absolute explanation of that final kingdom and who these people are on this earth, ruling the earth at the time. Did you see it? Mm-hmm. Between the lines. That one's not even between the lines. That one's on the line. Read 43 again. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves. Who are they? With the seed of men. You're talking about fallen angels. Demons shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. We already have the seed of the serpent within us. And the further we get from God, the more it takes over. It shall be as it was in the time of Noah. Giants ruled the earth, offspring of the fallen angels. And they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. These are not humans fully. And they will rule with the Antichrist. The whole sermon there. But they shall not cleave one to another. There'll be dissension even in their ranks. There's your weakness. Jesus Christ will come back with one heart and one army of saints with one heart. Even when Satan gets it to his fullest here on earth, when he takes over this one world, that says there'll be dissension within his ranks. Where you have evil in the heart of men, there is no peace. God brings peace. If I have peace, I have contentment. If I have evil in my heart, there's no peace, there's no contentment. Yeah, I might be serving the evil ruler, but I probably want to be the evil ruler myself. So they know they will not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay, and iron will not mix with clay. Clay will hold iron pieces together, and that's what it's saying there. These creatures will be in control of the one world government, which has vast strong armies, and they will hold these vast strong armies together and march against God one day and the Lamb. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And it's what it said here earlier. And the rock shall crush the feet of iron and clay, and the rock shall turn into a mountain and rule eternally. Jesus Christ sitting on his throne. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. That is the virgin birth right there. He came in a sinless way. Yeah. That was the seed of Joseph's body. But it didn't get in to Mary in the normal carnal fashion, which was sinful because the Adamic line was never meant to procreate. You have to catch episode 1 on WBFF.com, WBFFradio.com, to understand that. That was the priest line, put in the garden for a special reason. God had created man and woman on the sixth day and told them to replenish the earth because he'd already flooded it once. Then after the seventh day, he rested. Could have been thousands of years, hundreds at least. Then he said on the eighth day, oh, there's no man to tend my garden. Oh, Lord, I thought you made men on the sixth day. Yes, but I can't just put those guys in there. I have to make a sanctified man, an anointed man. He formed him of the earth and breathed life into his nostrils. Made him male and female and called his name Adam. His name Adam. You go back to the 6 days that he made male and female and told them to go and replenish the earth. There are two accounts of creation. Back to verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king that shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, O of truth it is, that your God is a God of gods. Nebuchadnezzar coming to a greater understanding of this God that he's been taking orders from. And a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. And the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel set in the gate of the king. So Daniel is elevated to second in command that fast. God's work. You remember the Christmas story, Jonathan? The Magi?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was placed over them also.
Mm-hmm.
They were under his orders from hundreds of years ago. This would happen. A star would be seen. It would be the Messiah. And the Magi weren't three wise men.
Mm-mm.
That was a company, a heavily militarized company of priests, kingmakers. They knew things because of the wisdom. Mostly the wisdom of Daniel. When a king was to be made in a province, The Magi would go there and anoint the king. And it wasn't three guys in robes with three camels. No. It was a military company that escorted these priests. And wherever they went, no one bothered them. Free reign to go anywhere in the known world. And Daniel, just like he does with an upcoming conqueror, 150 years in the future, was like it was Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Cyrus rides into Babylon after he's conquered it, and a scroll is given to him, written by Daniel 150 years ago. Which calls him out by name.
Basically, he's got his name written on the front.
It does. It does. To King Cyrus.
Yeah.
AD 150 years in the future.
Right.
BC 150 years in the future. An amazing man of God, Daniel. God uses him. And right here, we see God is already setting up for the birth of Jesus Christ. Daniel's amazing book. Read it 1,000 times through. You'll get something new every time. It's been good to be with you here today on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. Any day in God's Word is a good day, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.